Welcome to the program for Thursday, October 25th, 2012, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thursday in the 3 o'clock hour is always industry chatter. Today is no exception. My guest is Ray Bowen. He's the president and CEO of Exceptional Software Strategies, and he's in studio with me. Ray, it's good to see you. Thank you for coming in today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always good to get out of the office, especially on a warm day like this, and talk about exceptional software.
It's really hard to believe that it is the almost the end of October, and so it is great to have you here and enjoying the warm weather. I wish we could do the show outside. Let's start like we always do. And tell me about what Exceptional Software Strategies does for its customers and who they are.
Sure. So Exceptional Software, we are a defense contractor for the most part. We have three primary offices or offers: services, solutions, and products. Not only do we focus on the federal government, but we also do state and local, academia, and private industry. So if you peel the onion away and you look at our services, we do the classic services that most software integrators do, defense contractors. So we're talking about database development and design, software development design, systems engineering, systems administration, those traditional hard services. From a solutions perspective, we have four that we're focusing on: cybersecurity, cloud computing, what we call advanced information visualization, and lastly, business process modeling and engineering. And then finally, we have products that we've developed over the years, and we use them as leverage to bring better solutions and products and offerings to our customers.
So the kind of the layover on all of the things that you mentioned, all of the things that you talk about, is the budgets that agencies are dealing with, in particular the Defense Department.
Sure.
We've probably said the word sequestration 8,000 million times on this program, and you probably hear it in just about every conversation you have. How is that impacting how a company like yours sells today, mm-hmm, and services its customers today, but also how you plan and try to forecast and anticipate the future when there's so many different things that could happen and things could go so many different ways?
Sure. There are a lot of variables when it comes to sequestration. And depending upon the size of the organization, you know, the big companies have lobbyists, they have lawyers, they're following it. They know probably before we do. So what can we do as a small business? We are a small business, by the way. And so our approach has been to, number one, make sure that we interact with our customer to understand what their problems are so that we are making sure we offer solutions that they need. Because if they don't need it, it's going away. So that's a focus that we have. In addition, we make sure that we develop capabilities that will be needed downstream, and we can talk to that as well.
Sure.
And then finally, it's to the extent at which we can, we stay abreast of what's going on from industry, shows as yours, or through the blogs, through the different publications and things like that. So when you look at sequestration, our approach is to make sure that we have solutions that are needed and focus on areas that we think downstream will be those areas that won't go away. So I talked about cyber, mm-hmm, I talked about cloud. Those are things we believe won't go away.
Are the communications channels, do you think, open sufficiently between government and industry that companies like yours that are smaller, that maybe don't have the breadth of workforce to be out there gathering the kind of intelligence that you're talking about, are still able to stay on top of what they need to know to be able to keep the edge that you have?
No, I believe that the communications aren't necessarily there. It's really incumbent upon the businesses themselves to reach out and make sure that they, you know, understand what's going on. And if they don't, they need to become knowledgeable.
So you essentially have to get out there and get after
it
to get the information
that
you need to know. Do you expect that to change, or have you seen it change in the past maybe year to 3 years as far as that level of communications goes? When we started to see on the horizon this budget situation, mm-hmm, coming, did you notice any? Have you noticed any difference in the way that agencies communicate with a company like yours?
Not really, but indirectly. And what I mean by indirectly is the nature of the procurements has changed. So in the you go back 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, you saw procurements that came out that were, let's say, they weren't low cost technically acceptable. We're seeing a lot of those types of procurements. And so what it's forced us to do, the work hasn't changed. The work is still there, but the nature of the procurements is different. So rather than try to go out and build the best solution for the customer, which you should do anyway, we're now looking at cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can we be lean and mean and cheap and still deliver capability? And that's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, that of all the things that I talk to vendors about that are working in this environment, that seems to be the hardest part because it's the old mantra, you get what you pay for.
Exactly.
And the government seems to understand that, and I'm not discounting mm-hmm. the situation that the program managers and acquisition professionals find themselves in. You can only spend what you're allowed to spend.
Exactly.
But I'm curious as to what you're seeing. I mean, you mentioned LPTA,
mm-hmm.
and that's the bane of just about everybody's existence that
Absolutely.
Works in the defense field.
Absolutely.
Do you get a sense that there is going to be more and more and more of that and less room for being able to try to discern value in these procurements?
I think so until something breaks. You know, you can squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, but at some point in time, you're going to realize it's not working. Now, there's also opportunities for us in all of this, because as we see the dollars shrink in terms of the contracts that are coming out by way of rates and things like that, we also know that the government needs to come up with efficiencies. So we hear IT efficiencies all the time. And so for us as a company, we're looking at, okay, what does that really mean when you talk IT efficiencies? That means you need to cut back on hardware, on software, and other hard IT-related things. And so what we're finding is they are cutting back on hardware and software, but they're also pushing things to the cloud. And so that's where we see the opportunity is to focus on providing cloud-based solutions because it makes sense if you're looking at IT efficiencies. And so we're trying to be ahead of the curve there and really work hard to make sure we bone up on our cloud-based offerings.
Now, you mentioned cloud, and that's been one of the big buzzwords mm-hmm. over the last 2 to maybe 5 years in the federal space. Had an interesting conversation last night with a vendor who was saying, he'd been in the business for a long time, and this person's position was, This is an unusual time to be selling to the government because for a long time, industry was able to say, hey, we've got this chance for you to save money, or we've got this product that is something that will meet a need that so far has been unmet and so on. And industry would have a chance to kind of, even if you're doing something that the next guy's doing, you could riff off of it and make it unique
right.
in your own way. And this person's theory was, this time is different because it seems like OMB in particular is jumping out in front of a lot of these technologies and saying, okay, we're going to push you sometimes over against your will to do things like data center consolidation,
sure.
to move to the cloud, to do all these various initiatives that they've moved when it comes to IT, and it's making it more difficult for industry to be able to present something interesting and unique and different than my competitor to the government. Do you agree with that
I understand that school of thought, but I think in our particular case, we've discovered the secret sauce, at least for us. Because when you look at, you know, the hard costs, power, space, and cooling, that costs money. So the way that you address it is you do push things to the cloud. But now you have issues as it relates to security. How do you secure the data in the cloud? And so when we looked at our own organization, we've pushed things out to the cloud as well. And we had similar concerns. How do we ensure that what we've pushed out to the public cloud is secure and safe? And so through research on our own, we came across a company called CipherCloud, who has a product that allows you to secure data at rest in the cloud. And oh, by the way, you have the opportunity to hold the encryption keys, which is kind of the holy grail of encryption. And so initially, we were a user of their product, but over the course in time, we became more of a partner, And so we've developed a partnership with this particular company, and we look at this particular offering. You know, they have an outstanding product. We have a history of integrating products. And so together we can go out and push a cloud security offering. And we believe it's kind of the secret sauce that will catapult us beyond some of the other vendors who truly do have those issues in terms of trying to push their particular capability out to the cloud.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, though, Ray, I'd like to talk about, you mentioned the idea of securing data in the cloud, mm-hmm. and I want to talk about that when we come back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Ray Bowen's the president, CEO of Exceptional Software Strategies. My guest today on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back. Technology professionals should prepare to attend GovCom 2012, the trade show featuring government audiovisual communication solutions at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center, November 28th and 29th. Leading manufacturers and solutions providers will be showcasing the latest in audio-video, conferencing, collaboration, control systems, digital signage, and visual display technologies. GovCom will help you boost collaboration, enhance security, improve reliability, and cut costs. See cutting-edge communications products, get valuable training from leading experts in government and industry, and network with other professionals. Visit Government Video Expo, the leading show for government video and broadcast technology, now co-located with GovCom. For more information and your free exhibits pass, visit GovCom with two M's, show.org, and use the code FED. GovCom is brought to you by Infocom International, the Audiovisual Trade Association.
By combining HP 3PAR utility storage with HP ProLiant Gen 8 servers powered by the latest Intel Xeon processors, you can lower your total cost of ownership and improve project ROI. GovConnection, a federal elite HP partner, can show you how HP can power your data center into the future. Call GovConnection's experienced federal team, where service and commitment to the customer are priority one. Call 800-800-0019 today.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Help cure Huntington's disease by coming out to Millbrook High School in Winchester, Virginia, Saturday, November 3rd. They'll be holding the third annual Care to Cure HD 5K Run Walk and Kids Fun Run, where 100% of the proceeds will be donated to the Huntington's Disease Society of America. There'll be awards for the winners and lots of great door prizes. For more information, please visit their website at caretocurehd5k.com. That's caretocurehd5k.com.
Some agencies and companies are working together now to keep critical networks safe from cyber attacks. I'm Emily Kopp. On Friday's Federal Drive, we'll have an hour-long panel on these cyber partnerships. And Transcom is in charge of moving pretty much everything the military uses, from food to people. Now the military is changing, and Transcom is too. It all starts at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And for the latest federal news, check out federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Ray Bowen of Exceptional Software Strategies, my guest on Pentagon Solutions today. We're talking about data security, and it's a pretty hot topic. I wonder, though, if we are finally, if you think, Ray, that we're finally past the point in government technology, in IT, where people recognize there's not as much point in prioritizing securing hardware as securing data.
I think we're there. Interesting story. So, and I was thinking about this on the way here. If you go to a hotel, and lots of hotels have vaults or little safes in the suite, and you lock your information or you lock your valuables in the suite in the hotel safe, and you walk away and you think everything is secure. And for the most part, it is. You know, unless a criminal is very crafty, it's hard to break down the door. It's hard to get to the safe. It's hard to open it up because they don't have the combination, right? But we feel that our information is secure, or we feel that our valuables are secure because we put them in the safe. But the reality is, if you forget the combination, what do? Well, you go to the front desk and you say, I'm such and such. I'm Ray Bowen, and I've left my valuables in the safe, and I forgot the combination. And they go get a maintenance person or whatever, and they come to your room, and they put in the administrative code, and they open the safe. So your valuables aren't really as secure as you think they are. And so I look at this as, you know, people can put their information in the cloud, and they think it's secure. But they don't realize that that information can live on a server either in the U.S., or outside of the U.S. And let's take the high road. Let's assume that there are no malevolent characters. But for some reason, somebody needs to get access to your data outside of your organization for legitimate purposes. You think it's secure, but, you know, an administrator can get access to it. So it's not securing the facility. It's securing the data that really makes the difference.
And having some record keeping, at least, of knowing who is able to access your information and then who has actually done so or is doing so at any given time, I imagine.
That's a good start. But yeah. Really, as I said earlier, the key is encrypting the data, but also making sure that you hold the encryption keys. Back to my safe example, it would be different if you could bring your own safe to the hotel and bolt it down and only you know the combination. Then the information is secure unless the building blows up or something like that. Same with putting your information out into the cloud. You need to hold the encryption keys. And then it doesn't matter where it winds up. You know, you can ensure that your data is secure.
Do you think that that concern is something that is driving the conversation about private or proprietary clouds as opposed to putting information in a public cloud? Sure. Or is that maybe the wrong way to be thinking about this issue?
No, that is a valid concern, and to a certain extent, that's an easier way to handle this. For example, I mentioned that our customers are in the DOD or the intelligence community. They have their own private clouds, but they still have information in their clouds that not everybody, even though you're in the intelligence community and you have the appropriate clearances, there's this thing called need to know. And not everyone needs to know all of the information about all of the information that's out there. So having a private cloud is a good start. It keeps a large portion of the bad guys out. But you still need to go back to making sure that the information out there is encrypted, and that gives you the added level of security that you need.
Now, I read yesterday that DISA is offering a cloud solution to other parts of the Defense Department. How does that impact a company like yours?
Oh, again, opportunity, opportunity, opportunity.
Because my first instinct wouldn't be that that's the case.
No, because it's that secret sauce. It's the relationship between us and CipherCloud, because they have a capability that can go either in a private cloud or a public cloud or a hybrid. If you want to get to the data, you go through their box, their appliance. It encrypts the data, and then it allows the data to be stored, encrypted at rest. And so one of the things we're looking at is providing an encryption as a service capability. So we see things like that as opportunity.
Where do you think the opportunities will be for a company like yours, given the environment that we're in right now? And I'm not asking you to give away any company secrets or strategy or anything like that. But I imagine some of the cues that you see are some of the same cues that other people in the
Absolutely. And so the key is to have access to, like in any capability or any offering or any marketing, access to decision makers who understand the problem. And so I believe that, you know, given the board of advisors that we recently stood up as an organization, given where we've done business within the various agencies, given some of the partner relationships with vendors that we have access to decision makers. Now the challenge is to make sure that we put together an offering that makes sense and is compelling enough. And one of the reasons or ways that we make it compelling is all of these things that I've talked about, you know, encryption, we're doing it internally. Mm-hmm. So if we can talk about what we've done to secure our own information, it tells a story. We're not just pushing something. We're actually doing it internally.
I've noticed, too, a trend that I hear more and more from people inside government, especially the IT people, is I'm not buying from salespeople anymore.
Right.
I'm buying from experts who are doing what I need to do or what I have done, and I'm going to people at another agency who have done what I need to do and saying, who'd you ask, and going to them and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Are you seeing that too?
I am. I was at a meeting earlier this year, and it had the CTOs from some of the top intelligence agencies. And one of the things that one of the gentlemen mentioned, and I can't remember his name, but I remember what he said. And he said, the government is now looking at companies and asking the question, you know, it used to be, where have you implemented this within the government? Now they're asking, where have you implemented this, period, be it within the government or private industry or academia or wherever. And so that's something that resonated home. You know, they want to see proof that it works. And so at Exceptional, that's what we do. We do a lot of prototyping. We do a lot of R&D. We make sure that we kick the tires so that as we're representing solutions, services, or products, we know that they work.
What is driving that, do you think? What is driving? I mean, that's a pretty big mindset change for government, because what you're talking about, this person saying, has been historically, if you couldn't demonstrate where you'd done it before in government, nobody really wanted to be the early adopter. What do you think is driving that now?
I believe cost is probably a major factor. I mean, with budget shrinking everywhere, they really don't have time to experiment. You know, the government wants to make sure that the solution that you're offering works.
But they're willing to consider private sector solutions where they weren't for a long time, where they really thought that there was a pretty thick dividing line between what worked in the public sector and what worked in the private sector.
And I think what's also driving this is the fact that there are best practices that exist out there that may not necessarily, because of regulatory issues, exist within the federal space, but does exist in the commercial world. And it, you know, at the end of the day, wherever the best practices come from, that's what you want to implement.
You mentioned earlier that you're a small business, and I would like to talk about how you see specifically the small business landscape when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest on Industry Chatter today is Ray Bowen, President and CEO of Exceptional Software Strategies, and our conversation will continue in a moment.
Communications knows that keeping your mission-critical data secure is your top priority. Cyber threats are real, and Level 3 can protect your agency with security from the earth to the cloud, mitigate risk, reduce complexity, and support the continuity of your agency operations. Think Level 3 Communications. Level 3, the partner of choice for over 300 federal agencies and bureaus. Learn more, level3.com/secure. That's level3.com/secure.
Did you know more than 80,000 people in our area have lupus? Join the Lupus Foundation of America, D.C., Maryland, Virginia chapter on Saturday, December 8th to celebrate its services throughout the tri-state area for patients living with lupus. A gala luncheon and exciting live and silent auction at the Park Hyatt, Washington will support free services for people with lupus, a life-threatening disease with no known cure. For tickets, call 1-888-787-5380 or visit lupusdmv.org.
What will the proposed $1.4 billion in cuts to federal spending under sequestration mean to civilian and defense agencies? Will the dire predictions of potential job losses and cuts to vital agency and defense programs come true? Deloitte's General Chuck Wald and Greg Pellegrino will talk about strategies for sequestration with host Jane Norris on Deloitte's Fed Central, Thursday, November 1st and 15th at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on 1500 AM at 10 AM. Please join me this week for my special guest, Paul Pagnotto of the Pagnotto Carp Group of Hightower Advisors. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. If you'd like to get in touch with us, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
Moms' lives, kids' teeth. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss. With HHS HealthBeat, there may be more to keeping a kid's teeth healthy than dental insurance. Researchers say mothers with more than a high school education, more knowledge of eating right, and good emotional health had kids with better dental health. At the Dental School of Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Suchitra Nelson looked in data from a long-term study, checking dental records of 224 teenagers and questionnaires from their mothers. She noticed something about teens whose mothers had more reason for life stress.
The children had significantly less prevention, poor oral hygiene, and less often dental visits.
The study in the Journal of Dental Research was supported by the National Institutes of Health and the Health Resources and Services Administration. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Human Capital Management for the federal government is the most anticipated training event this year, featuring more than 30 participating federal human chief capital officers and chief learning officers. Don't miss this year's event, to be held on November 28th through the 30th, 2012, at the Sheraton Pentagon City Hotel in Arlington, Virginia. Check out the website, www.hcmfederal.com, for more information and to register now. Mention code HCMF for a $200 discount.
You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest on Industry Chatter today is Ray Bowen of Exceptional Software Strategies. Someone I'm going to introduce you to, as we were talking about during the break, is my friend Guy Timberlake. He's the chief, I love his title, Chief Visionary Officer of the American Small Business Coalition. He was on the program not too long ago talking about something that he wrote, and this is the concept of small businesses thinking of themselves as businesses rather than small businesses and not focusing on the small. In your experience, is that a practical way to think about how you present yourself to customers or just how you think about planning and strategizing your business in general?
Sure. So there's the saying, you know, as a man thinketh, so shall he be.
Yes.
And so if you think small, you're going to stay small, you're going to be small. The way we look at things is, yes, we are small because that's the state at which we're in right now. But if you look at what we've been doing internally as an organization, we've built an infrastructure that can scale. So people infrastructure in terms of our management team scales. IT infrastructure, again, back to the cloud and other things, scales. Our physical infrastructure in terms of the our actual building, large, scales. The contracts that we go after, we're starting to put together teams, joint ventures, that allows us to compete at a larger scale. And so, you know, we don't want to be the small business that goes after just the small work. Mm-hmm. We go after large scale work because of the capabilities that we have to offer.
Do you see a lot of the companies in your space doing more of that? Because that seems to me to be a very logical, smart strategy given where we are now.
Well, hopefully they're not listening to the broadcast. But there are some. There are some that have gotten it, and we team with those companies. There are others that just want to stay small. You know, they go after the set-asides, and they're there. But it just – I think it hurts the small business community because the customer continually looks at us as risk. Why should I award a large contract to a small company? I have to mitigate risk. I don't think they can do it. So it really hurts. It hurts us as small businesses when companies just stay focused on the small.
Is that still part of the process that you have to do when you're responding to RFPs and so on, is demonstrate, hey, we can handle this?
Absolutely. Not only for just the small business pieces, but for contracts period, you have to demonstrate that you can mitigate risk. And depending upon the scope and nature of the contract, there may be management risk. Can you manage a, you know, 150, 200 person contract? Maybe you can, maybe you can't. You need to have the past performance to show that you can.
How do you do that? How do you demonstrate to somebody, yep, not only will we be able to meet the abide by the terms that you're setting out, meet the requirements that you're setting out, but here's how we're going to do it.
Well, fortunately in our case, we actually have had some rather large contracts. So we can say, yeah, we as a small company, again, since the topic is small, we have managed, you know, a significant contract. And so we understand what it means to have multiple subcontractors, to have task orders added to our contract, to have changes of scope, to have other contracts that aren't related put on top of ours. We can tell the story that we've done it before.
Has the equation of developing those partnerships, whether it's as peers or as subs or whatever, has that changed at all, or is it still just good old-fashioned relationship building?
It's all about relationships. There are, again, I'm going to go back to my world, the intelligence community. There are a lot of small companies that are new to that environment, and so they're very willing to want to partner with someone who, you know, kind of pull them under their wing and show them the ropes. And so that helps, especially when they have significant or unique capabilities. We like to reach out to those companies. There are others that have been around for a while and they get it as well. But then there's another set of companies that just don't get it. They don't realize that, you know, you're better working together. Yes, you're going to share competitive information, but that's just the game that we play. That's, you know, it's part of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have all kinds.
I'm going to throw a kind of a weird question at you when we come back from the break, Ray. Ray Bowen is my guest today on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM for Industry Chatter. He's the president and CEO of Exceptional Software Strategies. And we'll continue our conversation in a moment.
We have a big
reward.
just for federal employees, a wellness incentive worth up to $50. And that's just one of the extra benefits at no extra cost with the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Service Benefit Plan. You also get everything from free annual physicals to generic drug incentives. To learn about our other
rewards
and about the wellness incentive, visit extras.fepblue.org or call 1-800-411-BLUE.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Beth Ann Telford found out 7 years ago she had brain cancer. Her doctors told her she would never run again. But now, Telford is defying the odds. The government printing office employee recently competed in the Ironman World Championship, which includes swimming, biking, and running a marathon. What motivates Telford to keep moving forward, and how did she finish the race? Federal News Radio goes behind the scenes with Telford at a recent training session. Watch the video at federalnewsradio.com. Search Ironman.
6 years ago, a Veterans Affairs employee laptop was stolen that contained personal data on 26 million veterans. That event helped spark a major rethinking of how agencies should be protecting sensitive data. What is the state of federal cybersecurity today? In our special report, Cybersecurity Rising, we look at the massive changes made since the stolen VA laptop and review what cyber holes still remain. Cybersecurity Rising, this week on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest today on Industry Chatter is Ray Bowen. He's the president and CEO of Exceptional Software Strategies. I told you I had kind of an off-the-wall question for you. What is the hardest thing about doing business with the government right now, Ray? And what is the easiest thing? And you can take either one of those and do whichever one you prefer first.
So I think I'm going to give you not a strange answer, but I'll elaborate. So the hardest thing, or let me go with the easiest. The easiest thing is doing business with the government, and I'll elaborate upon that.
Okay.
And the hardest thing is making money. And so let me elaborate. As was mentioned earlier, we're seeing a lot of these low-price, technically acceptable contracts coming out. And so the dilemma is I have highly skilled people, but I have to bid them out on contract. And so the question is, if you are a company such as mine that is scaling for growth, that has the infrastructure to scale, which means that I have a higher overhead. I won't, you know, my competitors are out there, so I won't tell exactly what it is, but they all have the same problem. How do you make a profit and come in cheap? And so that's been the dilemma. That's really been the most difficult thing. We're not seeing less work come out from our customers. We're seeing about the same, but we're having to change our business model to respond in such a way that the margins are no longer what they used to be.
And the fear that I hear from a lot of folks, even folks inside the agencies, DOD in particular, is that will not encourage people to continue to try to, first of all, be innovative, or second of all, maybe even stay in the business.
Exactly. So let me give you an example. If you take a software engineer who's making, oh, let's just say for the sake of discussion, $60,000 a year, and that individual does not have the clearances to do the work in my space. So they happen to be good, upstanding citizens, and we put them through the clearance process, and they get their clearance. They're now worth maybe 20% more because they have that clearance. And, oh, by the way, they can go wherever they want. And so now I have to make sure that I pay them enough to make sure that they stay with me, generate the loyalty there, but I have to turn them around and bid them out at something that's just, in some cases, it's not doable. So you have to make it up on volume. You have to get creative, not illegal, but creative. And that has become more and more difficult. We are seeing the cost plus contracts or fixed price, and that's another area where if you have repeatable processes and you really know what you're doing, you can make a profit there. But most people in our arena, in our space, are facing that problem. I think that's probably one of the most significant problems we face.
Okay. And you went with the hardest first.
And so the easiest, we're not seeing a decrease in work or opportunities. And so you would expect with all of the cuts and things that you would see that. It takes a little more work. But if you have the right proposal process in place, the right marketing team in place, the work is there. It's just execute what you've been doing throughout all of the years, and you can continue there.
What do you see for either one of those themes? Mm-hmm. What do you see the trend line doing over the next couple of years? Do you see those things changing?
I see it getting more and more difficult in terms of pricing. One of the things that's happening is, and I understand the government's perspective on this, they're trying to normalize what companies charge on their rates. It kind of makes sense, but they're starting to do this. So I see it being a lot tougher downstream for companies, and we all have to, from the large Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martins down to the small companies, we all are in the same boat, and so it impacts us all the same way.
You mentioned LPTA, and when you referred to that earlier, you said something that I thought – I've heard the sentiment before, but I think you crystallized it better than other folks that have tried to do it. You said LPTA will be fine and people will do it until something breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but think that has to happen at some point, because – since these are humans that are evaluating each of these potential solutions,
sure.
Technically acceptable might not necessarily always be technically acceptable.
Sure. I remember when I first got married and we lived in a house and we had a deck and we needed to replace the deck. So what did we do? We went out and we went to the cheapest bidder and they built us a deck. But when they were done, there were things that were crooked. Wood was warped. And so, that's just an example. They were technically acceptable. They built us a deck.
You could stand on it. You could grill on it, but it wasn't the hottest thing.
Aesthetically, it was not pleasing at all. And I think, that's just an example, and as rudimentary as it may be. If I have to provide capability and the requirements are to just give me what I ask for, but don't excel, don't innovate. It's bad.
When we come back to wrap up this conversation, that's where I want to go next and talk about innovation. Ray Bowen's my guest. He is the president and CEO of Exceptional Software Strategies, and he will continue this conversation with me on Industry Chatter in just a minute on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Life is long and filled with challenges. Navigating these can be difficult, but it doesn't have to be. Hi, this is Lisa Millman from AFMA. For over 133 years, AFMA has been leading military personnel through difficult times to a more secure future with our low-cost life insurance and personal approach. Our policies are available to all members of the armed forces. For a free quote, call 1-877-398-2263 or find us online at AFMA.com today. That's AAFMAA.com.
Looking for ways to help your agency help the environment? GSA has two free online resources that promote sustainability. With GSA's newly updated carbon footprint tool, you can compile your agency's annual greenhouse gas inventory and track progress toward meeting your reduction goals. And with GSA's sustainable facilities tool and green products compilation module, you can help your agency make sustainable purchasing decisions. To learn more, join the conversation today at interact.gsa.gov/sustainability.
Make long-term care insurance part of your retirement plan. Long-term care is expensive, and it's not covered by traditional types of insurance plans. With benefits designed specifically for the federal family, the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program offers a smart way to help protect savings and assets and remain independent should you need long-term care services someday. Start planning for the future. Take the next step and visit LTCFEDS.com today. LTCFEDS.com.
How are government and industry co-creating a safe and secure cyber environment? Join Federal News Radio Friday at 9 a.m. for a Federal Drive discussion on the state of cybersecurity. We'll ask agency experts what's next with industry and government collaboration, how big data analytics fits into the equation, and what is needed to advance cybersecurity. The State of Cybersecurity, sponsored by Level 3 Communications, Friday morning at 9 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM or online at federalnewsradio.com.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few. The proud. The Marines.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Ray Bowen is the president and CEO of Exceptional Software Strategies. And as we wrap up this conversation, Ray, all the ideas that we've talked about throughout the program are good, and I really appreciate this conversation. Where I would like to take it next, though, is I'd like to talk about what you see. People in agencies all the time tell me, I'm so focused on what I'm doing today. I'm so focused on what is on my plate that I don't really get a chance to pull back and think long term and think visionary. If you were going to sit across from me as the IT leader at an agency and I said, what should I be thinking about in the next like 3 to 5 years? I know I've got to worry about cloud computing. I know I have to think about mobile solutions. I know I have to think about data center consolidation and so on. But what's the next thing after that that I should at least be thinking about or at least be have some cognizance of? What do you think you'd say?
Well, that's a very interesting question because you've hit all of the, you know, you talk about cybersecurity. We're not there yet. We're on the tip of addressing the issue. You talked about cloud. We're not there yet. We're on the tip of addressing that issue. I guess what I would – a thought occurred to me is how – and it's not necessarily from a technology perspective, but how can I, given the business climate that exists, how can I drive innovation? When we're concerned about our educational system, for example, you know, years gone by, people would come to this country to learn and because we were leaders in education. Now they come here and then they leave and develop schools in their own countries. So we're no longer, in some cases, on the forefront of technology, of education. And these are things we've all heard from politicians on both sides of the aisle, so that's nothing new. But with all of the threats out there, you know, where is the technology going to come from? Is it going to come from overseas? You know, and if it does come from overseas, how do I ensure that it is something that I can actually use with all of the things that can be incorporated? I would be concerned about the supply chain. How do we address this? Because everything has been exported. And now I no longer know that, you know, certain products are truly developed in the United States. And if I'm concerned about national security, how do I address that? So I don't know that I could predict technology, but I would be concerned about these problems.
Yeah, those concepts are equally as important, I think, to think about long term. You mentioned innovation, and it's amazing we've gotten this far in the conversation, haven't talked in depth about it. We're almost out of time, but I wonder what your perception is of what the government is thinking about and looking for and asking you about regards innovation, as opposed to just a bright, shiny object that's another cool new
shiny
tool.
Bubbles and
yeah,
things.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
that's exactly right.
So we are focusing on cybersecurity. We are focusing on cloud. We are focusing on developing partnerships with CipherCloud and other types of companies that bring things together where we can integrate solutions and push them forward. So we believe this is the direction that the government is heading. And they've said as much. And so that's how we're answering the mail. We're focusing in those areas.
Yeah. Again, future looking, because this is the area that people seem to struggle with the most right now, focusing on all of the uncertainty that we have today. If you and I get together and have this conversation in, say, 2 or 3 years, what do you think will be different about your company, and what do you think will be different about the landscape in which your company's working, doing business with
Good
the
question.
Government?
So I think in 2 or 3 years, you know, the buzzword today is cyber. I think it'll be a commodity. It'll just be that's what you do. The buzzword is the cloud. It will be a commodity as well. That's just what you do. And there'll be something new. So a lot of the things that we're doing today will just become commonplace. Mobility. I mean, iPads, iPhones, whatever, Android, all of that will become commonplace. You're seeing the shrinkage of tablets and laptops and all of that. It'll be a different world, but I think you'll see more mobility, less conversations about cyber and all of this, because it'll be commonplace and it'll be on to the next thing.
I've really enjoyed our conversation, Ray. Thank you very much. It's been a lot of fun to have you in the studio. Ray Bowen is the president and CEO of Exceptional Software Strategies, and you can hear this conversation archived later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Hour number 2 of In-Depth with Francis Rose is coming next on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.